Blog Talk Radio.
In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus our Christ, good God day to all of you. This is the day that our Lord has made, and we will rejoice on purpose and be glad in it, no matter what we may face, because our Lord is good, and His mercy is new every morning, and is from everlasting to everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. This is Minister Renee Ellis, also known as The Little One, and I would like to welcome everyone to today's broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, live from HNLC Studios. I give all honor and all glory and all praise, all worship and adoration to the head of my life and my everything, my Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. I give recognition and respect to my pastors, Chief Apostle Dr. Prince A. Miles and Pastor Lady Monica R. Miles of the International Gospel Deliverance Center Church, located in Southfield, Michigan. And I also give respect to my covering, my sponsors, and the founders of Harvest New Life Church International, Apostle Charles E. Ellis and Pastor Patty Ellis of Plano, Texas. I thank God for them allowing me to be a part of the HNLC Studios broadcasting team, all for the glory and honor of God. You can listen to my podcast called Food for Thought any time of the day on Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Spotify, Breaker, Radio.com, iHeartRadio, and many other podcast platforms, where we study the Word of God together. All you have to do is type in The Little One, Food for Thought, and the podcast should come up. We're going to give you an opportunity to get your Bibles, notebooks, pens, paper, all of the study tools that we use at this time of the day when we come together to break open and study the Word of God. And we'll be right back with a word of prayer and get right into our study. Amen. All right. I trust everyone has had an opportunity to get their study tools and all of the things that we use to study at this time of the day every Tuesday and Thursday, 11 a.m. Central Standard Time and 12 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you so much for joining us today. You are such a blessing, and I truly, truly, truly appreciate your support as we fellowship together as members of one body, the body of Christ. It is always a joy and a privilege to be before my brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, together in the spirit of unity, because we are all united in the fact that we have made Jesus the Christ our Lord, our Savior, our God, our beloved, our Father, our Abba. Amen. Let us go before the throne of grace with a word of prayer. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. This is your day, O God, that you have given unto us because you loved us so much. You love us so very much. And we are the apple of your eye. You said, Lord Jesus, that the Father wishes that none should perish. Lord, thank you for being good all. Thank you for not just being good to your children, but even to those who are going to come into the kingdom of God on this day. Even those prodigal sons and daughters who have strayed away and who will rededicate their lives on this day to you. You are so good to each and every one of us. Thank you for your breath. Thank you for your life. Thank you for your health and your strength, your vitality and the ability, your ability, Lord, that you have given unto us to achieve and accomplish the things which you have allowed us to achieve and accomplish. We do not put ourselves in your place, for you are first priority. You are our first love, our beloved. We bless the listening audience on today. Lord, you see and you know every need. Meet every need. Touch, heal, and deliver. Move by your Spirit as only as you can. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for the peace of God, our hearts and minds, as we keep our heart and mind stayed on you, Lord Jesus. For you are the author and finisher of our faith. We count it a privilege to be at your feet, to glean and eat from your table the morsels that you will give us to eat on this day as we break open your precious word, O God, your love letter to us. We love you. We adore you. We magnify you. We exalt you. We extol you. We say, our Father, who art in heaven, holy, excellent, righteous, glorious, wonderful, almighty is your name in all the earth, above the earth, beneath the earth. Thy kingdom come, O God. And thy will be done in us, on us, through us, around us, and on this planet. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, as it is always done in heaven. Lord, this is your broadcast. Holy Spirit, I thank you. We say thank you for hiding us all behind the cross so that it is all of you and for your glory alone and none of us. Holy Spirit, thank you for putting your words on my tongue and on my lips, that which you will have me to deliver unto your people on this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. excuse me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. This is, the Holy Spirit has been dealing with me on some things. And today, he impressed upon me to start a series for us. That all of us can study. And we are going to be discussing the difference between carnal mentality and kingdom mentality. Carnal mentality and kingdom mentality. And it's been ministered by other people. And it's, you know, but the Lord has given this to us to study. He's putting us in remembrance of what and where we should be as the body of Christ, as his body, his bride, which he's coming back for without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. And the bride should reflect the bridegroom. Amen. Our main scripture text will be coming from Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. That is Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. That is our key scripture text, with the main passage of scripture out of that scripture text that we are focusing on always is Mark chapter 10, verses 43 through 45, which reads, and I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Classic Edition, as always, and all of you, all of us together, we can follow in our own translations, whatever translations you have. Go to Mark chapter 10, and let's look at verses 43 through 45 together. And then we'll get into the scripture text. Amen. Beginning at the 43rd verse, it says, "But this is not to be so among you. Instead, whoever desires to be great among you must be your servant." Verse 44, "And whoever wishes to be the most important and first in rank among you must be slave of all." Verse 45, "For even the Son of Man came not to have service rendered to him, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for or in the stead of many." These are Jesus's words here. This is Jesus talking. Now let's go to Mark chapter 10. We're already there. Let's begin reading at verse 35. And let's read through to verse 45. And it says, "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, approached him," talking about Jesus, "and said to him, 'Teacher, we desire you to do for us whatever we ask of you.' And he replied to them, 'What do you desire me to do for you?' And they said to him, 'Grant that we may sit, one at your right hand and one at your left hand, in your glory, your majesty, and splendor.' But Jesus said to them, 'You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism of affliction with which I am baptized?' And they replied to him, 'We are able.' And Jesus told them, 'The cup that I drink, you will drink, and you will be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left hand is not mine to give, but it will be given to those for whom it is ordained and prepared.' And when the other 10 apostles heard it, they began to be indignant with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and said to them, 'You know that those who are recognized as governing and are supposed to rule the Gentiles, the nations, lord it over them, ruling with absolute power and holding them in subjection. And their great men exercise authority and dominion over them. But this is not to be so among you. Instead, ever desires to be great among you, our key scripture passage here, must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be the most important and first in rank among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to have service rendered to him, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for and in the stead of many. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. The difference between carnal mentality and kingdom mentality. I would like for us, the Holy Spirit wants all of us to just meditate this passage of Scripture for a little bit as we go through this series, because this is our main passage. Let's go over to Philippians chapter 2. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to begin reading from verse 3. And we're going to read from verse to verse 16. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 16. In the Amplified Classic Edition, it says, "Do nothing from factional motives, through contentiousness, strife, selfishness, or for unworthy ends, or prompted by conceit and empty arrogance. Instead, in the true spirit of humility, lowliness of mind, let each regard the others as better than and superior to himself, thinking more highly of one another than you do of yourselves. Let each of you esteem and look upon and be concerned for not merely his own interests, but also each for the interests of others. Let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility, who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained. But he stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity so as to assume the guise of a servant, a slave, in that he became like men and was born a human being. And after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, because he stooped so low, God has highly exalted him and has freely bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that in and at the name of Jesus, every knee should and must bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue frankly and openly confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear ones, as you have always obeyed my suggestions, so now, not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I'm not in your presence, because I'm absent, work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal, and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling, distrusting yourself or self-distrust with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating you in the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and his satisfaction and his delight. Verse 14, do all things without grumbling and fault finding and complaining against God and questioning and doubting among yourselves, that you may show yourselves to be blameless and guileless, innocent and uncontaminated children of God without blemish, faultless, unrebukable, in the midst of a crooked and wicked generation, spiritually perverted and perverse, among whom you are seen as bright lights, stars or beacons shining out clearly in the dark world, holding out to it and offering to all men the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may have something of which exultantly to rejoice and glory in, that I did not run my race in vain or spend my labor to no purpose. Both of these are powerful passages of scriptures for us to meditate on today. If we go back to Mark chapter 10, and we begin to dissect 10 verses 35 through 45. Let's look at verse 35. It says, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, approached him and said to him, teacher, we desire you to do for us whatever we ask of you. We desire you to do for us ever we ask of you. Were they in a state of servitude when they asked that? Did they see themselves as helpers of him? Did they see themselves as his disciples? How did they see him when they asked those things? Where was their mentality focused? Was it carnal or was it kingdom and spiritual? Let's see. In verse 36, it says, "And he replied to them, 'What do you desire me to do for you?'" Jesus answering. He didn't say, "I'm not doing anything for you." He said, "What would you like for me to do for you?" Servant. They put a demand out there. Instead of them asking Jesus, "Lord, what would we need to do for you in this life in order to be in this place with you?" They ask, "We desire you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And Jesus replied to them, "What do you desire me to do for you?" And they said to him, grant that we, the two of us, may sit, one at your right hand and one at your left hand, in your glory, your majesty, and your splendor." Where was their focus? Was it for prestige? Was it for position? Was it because they wanted to be the favorites? Was it because they wanted to be with him only? And why did they only ask for themselves, the two of them? They didn't include anyone else. What kind of mentality did they have? Was it carnal mentality or kingdom mentality? This is like a food for thought session today for us to meditate on some things. But Jesus said to them in verse 38, he says, "You do not know what you are asking." You don't know what you're asking. Look at verse 37. "And they said to him, grant that we, the two of us, may sit." I want to sit. Put one of us at your right hand and put one of us at your left hand in your glory, in your majesty, and in your splendor. We want to be with you. We want to be like right next to you. We want to be just right there. They weren't thinking of anyone else. They didn't ask for all of the disciples to do that. Where was their focus? Why did not they include the rest of the 12? And why? Because they said it loud enough to where the rest of the disciples heard it, because later on down in the scripture, it says that the other 10 became indignant with them. They were bold enough to go to Jesus boldly in the midst of their gathering. And ask him to put one of them on the left hand and one of them on the right hand in his glory, Were they looking at position? Were they looking at prestige? Because they didn't include anyone else? Were they singling themselves out, saying that we're better than the rest, so the rest don't count? Where was their mentality here? Was it carnal mentality, kingdom mentality? Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, and let's look at verses 14 through 26. Beginning at the 14th verse in Galatians chapter 5, it says, "For the whole law concerning human relationships is complied with in the one precept, you shall love your neighbor as you do yourself. But if you bite and devour one another in partisan strife, be careful that you and your whole fellowship are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit." That's kingdom mentality. "Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh, of the human nature without God." Tell me, someone, is ego a part of the human nature without God? Everyone has one of those. We all have one of those. Sometimes we have to step back and say, okay, Lord, I want to do this for you. I don't want to do this for my glory, because I wasn't created to bring glory to myself. Scripture says everything was made by Jesus and for Jesus, and through him only all things consist, cohere, and stick together. So where is our focus as the body of Christ? Verse 15, "But if you bite and devour one another in partisan strife, be careful that you and your whole fellowship are not consumed by one another." So busy, focused, and judging about what this one said, what that one said, and why are they talking about me, when we should be praying for them and loving them and running to the Father, focused on him always as first priority. Number one that we go to for everything, no matter how small it may be. We're going to continue this. We stopped at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. And we're going to continue when we come back on Tuesday. We're going to pick up in Galatians chapter 5 and we're going to recap. But right now, this is the most important part of our study today. And everyone listening, all of us, and praying now. for the hearts of those who want to know and love and serve and follow Jesus, that their hearts be willing to make that choice today. If anyone listening would like to meet our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ and make him Lord, Savior, God, King, Abba, friend, brother in your life, say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I need you. I recognize you as the Son of God. I know that you are the Son of God. And I know that you came to this planet and gave your life for me so that I could be forgiven of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I want to be like you. Make me like you. Forgive me of all my sins. I accept this forgiveness. Come into my heart now. Live in me. Teach me and show me your ways. I believe you are alive and that you rose on the third day after you gave your life on the cross. And you are alive, living forevermore. And you are now my hope. You are now my hope for heaven, glory. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me now. By faith, I declare I am saved. By your grace, Lord Jesus, which you freely give to all who accept you, I run into your loving arms and I follow you from this day forward for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. For those of you who said that prayer for the first time, welcome. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome to the body of Christ. And for those of you who rededicated your lives today, welcome home. God loves you so very much. And we love you also. For you are now brothers and sisters, heirs, joint heirs with Jesus the Christ. And you are now a part of God's family. We have recognized our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, as our Lord, our Savior, our God. His love is so beautiful and reckless. He's been with you all the time. And he's the only one who said, I will never leave you. And I will never forsake you. And when God spoke those words, he meant exactly what he said. And he will do what he says he's going to do. He will stand by his word. And he will come through. From the song No Weapon by Minister Fred Hammond. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his beautiful face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift his countenance and turn his face toward you as he smiles so lovingly upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. And may the Lord give you his peace. Psalm 34. In that psalm, it says, seek peace and pursue it. Go after it. The peace of God. Seek his face. Seek his presence. Seek him diligently. And he said, for all those who seek him diligently, you will indeed find him. This is Minister Renee Ellis, also known as the Little One, saying, God bless you. God bless you on this God-given day. You are special. And you have a purpose. And it's time to walk into your destiny with Christ. Good God day to you. Until we meet again. Amen.